Hey there, this is Cross.
And this is Josh. Aloha!
And we are Words and Whiskey, a podcast for veteran and novice readers alike. We tackle fiction novels and love to talk about what we're drinking. You should think of us as your intoxicating weekly book club. We're not talking about books this week, Josh. What are we here to talk about?
What is a book if not just a song written down, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
We're talking about Christmas, Crosslyn. We're talking about Christmas.
Christmas, hell yeah.
Specifically, most importantly, we're gonna touch on a few topics here, but we're talking about Christmas music. And not just Christmas music, but Christmas albums specifically. Mm-hmm. Anyone can cover a Christmas song. Anyone can write a Christmas song. But a full Christmas album. That's what I want to know about.
That is fun and exciting. So I'm excited because Josh is going to be leading this episode and kind of taking me through his sort of questionnaire that he has for Christmas. Before we kick it off, though, too far, I feel like we should talk about what we're drinking real quickly and take our little shot that we both have, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Again, Di Serrano, while in Texas. So.
I dropped chopsticks. Those have nothing to do with the episode I was just eating before this, but I'm going to pick them up so I don't step on them. All right. I have my shot ready.
Excellent. Cheers.
I see you're drinking out of your little Coke cup again.
My little Coke cup. Yep.
My shot glass is a Welcome to Las Vegas shot glass, and that will be important later.
Ooh, interesting. Cheers.
Now I'm gonna sip the rest of that. That hurts.
Yeah, it's probably fair. Di Serrano is slightly lighter as an alcohol, so it goes down easy.
Yeah.
Well, it's like 30%, I think, 32.
My drink that I'm having today, if you want to, is it cool? Are we cool to just jump right into that?
Yeah,
wait,
let's
I'm
do
running
it.
This shit. We're going to jump right into that. Is there's whiskey in it, so I can just pour the rest of it right into there.
Excellent.
I call it desperate eggnog. And we are drinking it out of the Wally the Moose Christmas Vacation eggnog mug.
That's amazing.
It is Bailey's, 2% milk, whiskey, and a little bit of cinnamon on top.
Nice, nice.
Well, Josh, I'm not that far. It tastes like eggnog, basically.
It probably tastes pretty good, but
it's not bad.
Yeah, fair enough. I am also having eggnog. I am using like store-bought eggnog, but for whatever reason, they didn't have normal eggnog, so it's vanilla eggnog. Oh. Which is interesting. And then there's just Bacardi white rum in here. And that's
perfect.
We're rocking it.
You know, rum often has a slight vanilla flavoring to it. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It works out.
Yeah. And I mean, rum is traditionally in eggnog. I'm not crazy, right?
No, yeah.
That's the alcohol. Just making sure. I was like, hang on. I'm on the right. I'm in the right here this one time.
I'm doing whiskey. I've had half a shot and one sip. Oh, my God. This is going to be a great episode. Lock
this
in.
Is going to be a fantastic little holiday episode.
I'm using whiskey because the only rum I have is like a sparkling, like glitter rum that's purple. So that wasn't, if I put purple glitter rum inside of my beige cream drink, it was going to turn into a scary brown. And I didn't want that.
I didn't want any mystical brown.
Yeah, so.
I get you.
All right. I'm also drinking one beer for this. I know that's a lot of different drinks for a Tuesday night, but I don't know when this is coming out. Okay, you got a Shinerbach. I'm rocking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. You know, we're not doing anything crazy today.
Yep. It's Christmas a simple day.
It's a classic holiday. We're drinking classic dad beers. What would dad be drinking at Christmas?
This is what my stepdad will be drinking at Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's the beers we're drinking. We're really bringing a stepdad vibe to this episode.
to
this whole function. I hope by the end of this, you feel the same way about me that you feel about your stepdad. It's going to have different mileage for different people.
Complicated feelings. Yeah.
Some people are going to be like, oh, wow, you really did raise me and I appreciate you. Some of them are going to be like, yep, I feel about how I feel about my stepdad.
All right. So what are we going to start? Where are we starting here?
All right. To start, I want to talk about, and this is the bulk of the episode, we're just going to get right into it. We're not going to build up to the main event. We're going to do it the opposite. This episode's about music. We're both pop punk girlies. So I assume there's going to be a lot of pop punk in here, or at least some, or alternative adjacent music. If you're a pop punk person or an alt music person and you grow up around music scenes, I assume you've been to some local shows where the main band plays first because they like have to leave. We're doing that. We're doing the headliner, and then it just gets worse from there. So
sounds great to me.
The headliner tonight is, what is your favorite, not the best, but your favorite Christmas album? And
go ahead.
I want to start with honorable mentions.
Perfect.
We're going to do a top three. If there's one that doesn't quite make your top three, now's your chance to shout them out.
Yeah, so for me, I feel like, and I actually have to double check my phone real quick because I was just playing it right before because I had to make these calls. I actually had this in my top three, and I only removed it because it is technically an EP. And so it goes into my honorable mentions. I love it because it's all original music as well. That's one of the things that I really like and like wanted to highlight. But it's .. and A Happy New Year by The Main. It's their Christmas EP, which has four banger original Christmas songs.
Incredible. We're going to we actually mentioned in the last episode. I don't know if it was something that was in the
episode.
episode.
Yeah.
But there was a mention of The Main. I think it was during a side tangent that's not in there, where I like The Main, but I haven't listened to them since like. What a lot of people say is their first album that they started sounding like The Main on.
Pioneer. Yeah.
Pioneer. And I like it. I got a lot of Main to listen to, and I'm excited and a little scared. Slightly.
You got like
on.
Six records, and they're like six of my favorite records of all time.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah. But I'm super excited to listen to The Main's Christmas EP.
Yeah.
A lot of my feelings on Christmas albums are like... it's like a bonding experience to argue with my brother over Christmas albums. Not argue. We like the same ones, but then we'll get in a heated discussion about like the minutia between two of them. And my brother's a huge Main fan. So I need to get that EP going on so we can add that to the Christmas fight this year. Hey, yeah, look at that.
So The Main, I mean, I guess to kind of finalize the point, I love that EP so much. One year, my siblings and I went to The Main's Christmas show with All Time Low in Wisconsin. So we drove. It was All Time Low, and it was The Main, and they both played a lot of Christmas songs, of course. I think it was on like December 27th. It was technically like a New Year's show or something like that. It was so great. Heartfelt moment. Memory. Incredible. Yeah.
Quick question. Do you have any other honorable mentions? Because I have like six, so I want to give you the chance to talk about all your honorable, or we can trade off if you got other ones. But
yeah, I don't think that there's another one that I can think of right now. So let's trade off and go from there. I kind of like that just felt like the most important honorable mention to me.
Yeah, I was going way different. Yeah. I was going every Christmas album I listened to.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
No,
Tony Bennett though is like maybe the other one that I just need to like shout
the
out.
Classic.
Like I fucking love. Tony Bennett, Christmas music, no joke.
The classic.
Yeah.
But my first honorable mention is similar to a Tony Bennett, but way less cool. It's my wife's favorite Christmas album, and it is in my honorable mentions because it has become the album I'm going to listen to whether I want to or not every single Thanksgiving while she decorates. And that is just Michael Bublé's Christmas, you know?
It's a great one.
It's
That's
a classic. Yeah. It's a classic. It would be higher. It would still be an honorable mention. It would be higher in my honorable mentions if he wasn't a fucking coward and changed the lyrics to Santa Baby. If you just sang Santa Baby the way Santa Baby was originally sang, look, Michael, you're an attractive man. You can also seduce Santa. He doesn't have to be your buddy, your pally.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Own up.
Do you think Marilyn was actually going to put out if it came to that? No, she was just putting on a little flirt. You just got to put on
a little flirt,
Michael.
Yeah.
You don't know what Santa's into. He's been around a long time. He's Roman, you know? So
he's all over this world.
Yeah.
Ho ho ho's in different area codes.
Exactly.
that hurt me.
Oh no, that might be your best work.
Oh no.
Second honorable mention, quick shout out, Reliant K, Let It Snow Baby, Let It Rain Dear.
Yep.
Great Christmas pop punk album for half of it. And not like there's one good half and one bad half. 50% of the songs, amazing pop punk Christmas album. The other half, straight up worship music, full on propaganda, you know?
Yeah, the most Jesus-y they've ever been, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. With that said, within that little shout out to a song I love, In Like a Lion, which is a Christmas song that is more inspired by Narnia than it is by actual Christmas. And it only gets explicitly evangelical at the very end, but it feels like it could be about Aslan and not Jesus, so I let it slide. You know, not that you can't get a little evangelical with your Christmas music. If you're not going to do it at Christmas, when are you going to do it? But like, you know,
true. Yeah.
That album rips, but it also reminds me too much of my religious drama.
I got one more.
Yeah, get in there.
Merry Flippin' Christmas by Bowling for Soup, volumes
so
one
good.
And two.
So good.
What a great little collection. Bowling for Soup is fun and eclectic. They're always I've always preferred their first two records because they're the least jokey records.
Yes.
But I mean, a Christmas album is kind of a joke in and of itself, intentionally.
It
so it just lends itself
in a way,
to their
except for
style.
My number one pick. We'll get to that.
Right.
But
like original Christmas songs are kind of jokey, you know.
Well,
yeah.
But yes, they are. They generally are. I will say I didn't even think about the Bowling for Soup thing, but like Bowling for Soup is one of those bands where like because they have multiple like variety theme albums, it just like slip my mind.
They slip so frequently. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, I'm going to run real quick through these other honorable mentions.
That's,
I don't need to talk to them
one.
Too much.
Yeah.
We got Punk Goes Christmas 2013. The only reason it's on the honorable mentions is because how good the Set It Off song is. It sounds usually I feel like most people would be like, oh, it's kind of my Kimmy. No, it's just it could have been off of Lies of for the Liars by The Used. Like it sounds like Set It Off doing The Used doing Christmas, and I love it. The song is This Christmas I'll Burn It to the Ground. Great song. Another honorable mention, She and Him, a very She and Him Christmas. This one aged very millennially, but I am, in fact, a millennial, and I love Zooey Deschanel. So, you know, sue me. I love Zooey Deschanel from that era. I don't have a strong opinion about her now one way or the other, but, like, I watched Yes Man a lot. next up, another honorable mention, Nightmare Revisited, various artists. I will not let a various artists album make it into... my top three, and also
but
Nightmare
it's
Revisited
so good.
Is half a Halloween album, you know, but it's so good. It's so good. And then one more honorable mention that was my number three, and then at the last second I switched it with my last honorable mention, and that's going to be John Denver and the Muppets, Christmas Together.
Ooh,
quite possibly the most wholesome, enjoyable album in the world. It's just Muppets doing silly Muppet stuff, but then every now and then John Denver and Kermit have a slow song where they make beautiful harmonies with banjo, and it's so good.
I did have one more that's a various artist
get in there.
That I think is worth calling out. Gift Wrapped 20 songs for the season.
I had Gift Wrapped on my honorable mentions, and I was like, I deleted like three honorable mentions, and I'm like, you have too many. The only reason I got rid of Gift Wrapped is because I feel like if you take My Chemical Romance covering
All I Want for Christmas Is
You, and the lore behind the fact that that was a meme for a long time with the mashup of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas with You and the Black Parade before they ever recorded that, then I feel like it drops a few points. But there are a lot of great songs on that album.
You know, like the fact that on the same record you have Foxy Shazam, The Flaming Lips, My Chemical Romance, and Blake Shelton, like it's a wild mix of people.
I think the biggest compliment I can give that album is it makes no goddamn sense. And
it
the biggest problem with it is it starts with Michael Bublé, the Christmas guy.
Right, exactly. And then there's like the Brian Setzer Orchestra, and there's like so many like different random I just love the balls, you know? Like
that
balls
album,
of some executive.
That album deserves a different like award. I just don't know what it is, and it should come with a straight jacket. But like, it's a great album. Everybody should go check that out.
It's very fun.
Feel insane while you're listening to it.
Alone This Holiday by The Used is like one of those songs that stands
out
for me.
So good. So good. Also getting The Used and My Chem on the same record before they made up, you know?
Practically impossible.
All right. Well, it's not like they had to be in the same room, but still.
Yeah, true.
Are you ready to move into your number three?
I am.
Let's hear.
Did you want me to start with my number three?
We're going you than me. I'm running this.
Okay,
shit,
okay,
you know?
Okay. That is super fair.
This is my show now.
this is technically an EP, which I know I already kicked off the main for it.
Be honest, the main didn't cut it. They just weren't good enough, Cross.
It doesn't
say it
have
out loud.
As many songs, which is a part of the reason. So the main thing is only four songs. Punk Rock Christmas, R-A-W-K, by MXPX. Is a perfect, mostly original, like, Christmas record. There are so many great songs. You can very easily mash this up with Goldfinger's also small Christmas EP, smash them together because they perform together and they were co-doing the songs at the same time.
Incredible.
So it feels like those are one album collectively to me. But yeah,
that's like a you skate to it Christmas.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you're going to notice a theme here, though.
No, that's not. I didn't say that as a bad thing. That's a great thing. That's like you just got your new birdhouse skateboard for Christmas circa 1999. And you got to take that outside and hurt yourself. You know?
And this album came out in 2018, baby. Like,
But that's the vibe, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always really liked it. They always find their way like that. The reason that I did this is I also like went through all my lists and I was like, what albums consistently make it in there that like I should talk about? And I always have all six songs in every Christmas list that I make.
Incredible.
So it's like that has to go. It has to go on there.
Yeah. So. My number three, I'm not as passionate about as you, man. I should have. Damn. It's just Trans-Siberian Orchestra's The Lost Christmas Eve. I grew up going to a lot of concerts, but like specifically like small town metal shows and then like Christian concerts from the age of like 3 years old. My dad's friends were in metal bands, so I just went to that. But my first real concert was Angels and Airwaves, 30 Seconds to Mars, and the Ataris.
What a show.
Fucking
by
sick
the way.
Show. Yeah. But my second real concert and my first real concert, and I call it a real concert because it wasn't like Spirit West Coast or like, you know, like I went with a church group. My first real concert with no parents, just me and my cousin Jordan, was Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And they mostly played stuff from this album. It's a phenomenal album. It's just orchestral Christmas metal. And I remember looking at it and we were in the very far nosebleeds, like about as far back as you can go, and being like, that's cool. Wish I could see it. And then halfway through the show, they did a riser right up to the end of the nosebleeds. And it was a guitar solo, violin, electric violin, like duel. And I that changed something in 12-year-old Josh. And he was like, I will play music on stage at some point. And then I have, just not that stage.
And it was that show. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that one takes an important spot in my heart. Number two.
My number two is right behind you. It is the Manchester Orchestra Christmas Songs, Volume 1. And I have to exclude Volume 2 because I decided I thought
Volume 2 was out, but I went to look for it. Is it not listenable yet?
So it's only on Bandcamp, is my understanding, because they're donating profits directly.
That makes sense.
So I've only listened to one of the songs off of it, and my plan was to purchase it like the week of Christmas to listen to it that week. So that's part of the reason that like I can't say Volume 2 necessarily.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited to listen to it this year because that came out, I think, in 2021. So it's been a while.
I think so.
Since they've done a little Christmas album. But I love this. I love Andy Hall's voice. It feels, because of his upbringing in church, it feels very naturally spiritual, even though he's not anymore. It feels very homey in that way with his father, like being a pastor. I don't know. It scratches all the right itches. It feels classically Christmas while still having like the haunting melodies that like I expect from Manchester Orchestra.
Yeah. I don't want to cut that off, but I do want to talk about my number two.
Yes.
Manchester Orchestra Christmas Songs Volume 1.
Hell yeah.
Let's just dive into this for a second.
Yeah.
You're so right on all of those notes. Mm-hmm. There's something about I mean, inherently, Manchester Orchestra, I wouldn't necessarily classify them as like traditionally what you would call an emo band, but they are. They're like, they're within the emo genre. They're an emo band.
Yeah.
There is something so like you mentioned, kind of haunting, a little bit sad about the like Andy's voice in these songs that makes it, while still being very joyful, very Christmas, very hopeful, very nostalgic, it feels like Christmas because like by the time you're in your 30s, Christmas has probably had mostly happy memories, I hope, but there's sad memories mixed in there. There's like this like kind of depth to this album that I think brings out like the full feeling of the holiday season. It has all of the kind of desperation and stress mixed in with like the family, the nostalgia, the love, the hope. I don't know. It's a beautiful album. Like it is legitimately, I don't listen to it outside of Christmas, but like there have been times when I've gotten like tipsy in the kitchen 3 a.m. and I'm like, I just gotta listen to that Christmas album.
Listen
it's
to
like
Silent
July.
Night. Yeah.
You know? Right. Like it's an album that makes you feel something. It's a beautiful album. It should be my number one, but
his rendition of Silent Night is one of my favorite renditions of Silent Night ever.
I'm so curious what your number one is. Because like I don't think we've ever even talked about
No, we've never talked about this ever. Yeah.
But I'm curious what yours is. And it would be insane if it's mine.
There's
no way.
It's gonna
There's absolutely
fully
no way.
Out of left field. Yeah. My number one Christmas album is Christmas Songs by Bad Religion.
Okay, it is not it mine, is, but yeah. All right.
It is straight skate punk Christmas. It is blisteringly paced. It's reimagined, which is what I really love about it. I love the idea of like taking like old songs and kind of repurposing them. And it brings an upbeat energy, especially to a lot of playlists that are like desperately needing it. I love the long, obviously, like I've said with the previous songs, I love the like long, sorrowful. I love the Tony Bennett. But man, you get Bad Religion's little drummer boy in there. Like it's nine songs. It's 19 minutes. It's perfect. Angels We've Heard on High being 2 minutes long. God rest ye merry gentlemen, especially from a bunch of atheist political scientists. Like, yeah. I love it.
It's an entire album doing the parts that work about Reliant K's album.
Exactly.
It's what Reliant K was doing when they did it. They were like, oh, what if you did like the Bad Religion thing? It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah.
Also, if we want to talk about the little drummer boy as a side tangent, I am a person who grew up on Under Oath a lot. I really, really love them. Mm-hmm. But I really love the Almost also.
Yep.
Most disappointing cover of the little drummer boy I've ever heard.
Especially from Aaron. You know what I mean?
Aaron, like,
I expect
little
so
drummer
much
boy
more.
And it's just one snare beat on repeat the entire time. And then you play like a little bit of like a full band at the very end. Come on.
You're so talented of
that
a musician.
Dude, they wrote him the check before they got the recording, and he's like, okay. That's 100%.
That's got to be how it happened.
sorry, anything else you want to talk about on your number one?
No, honestly, I think that's it. I need to be as brief as Bad Religion would be, so.
Damn, you're so right. I feel like if you're going to be as brief as Bad Religion would be, we'd have to be doing this in person. You'd have to say that same exact thing, and you'd have to punch me in the face real quick, and then I'd just be like, whoa, okay.
Throw an elbow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could skank a little real quick. It's not ska. I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah.
They do add some horns in some songs. So
actually. Well, there you go. Yeah. All right. My number one is probably actually looking back at this, besides like John Denver, maybe the most traditionally popular rock band I have on here.
Oh, sure.
But it is The Killers, Don't Waste Your Wishes. It is an entire album, 100%, well, 99% originals, 12 songs, I think. Every single one is an original. Every single one is maybe a little goofy because it's a Christmas song, but heartfelt. Mm-hmm. Like, it never feels like a joke album. It's probably their best album they've released in the past 6 years. And four of the songs are about Santa trying to kill Brandon Flowers. One of the songs is basically just an audio Pixar short film that makes me cry every time. It's called Joel the Lump of Coal. And if you go listen to Joel the Lump of Coal and don't feel something, then you should seriously consider turning yourself into a mental asylum. And then the last song on it is the only non-original, technically, and it's I'll Be Home for Christmas after like a 3-minute long, just like spoken Christmas Carol style story about the lead singer of the Killers, Brandon Flowers, like moving from Vegas to Utah, going to new elementary school, being in class, and then seeing this older teacher come up and a cappella sing "I'll Be Home for Christmas" and then talk about that song, and all the other kids were laughing at him, but it like made him fall in love with music. And after he tells this whole story, he brings in like this 80 something year old man who was his teacher and has him sing "I'll Be Home for Christmas," and then they harmonize and the whole orchestra comes in, and I cry every time. And it's a perfect
That's awesome.
Album.
Yeah. I will add that to the study rotation.
Yes. I'll add Bad Religion.
As you should. You love that the album ends with a remix of American Jesus.
All right. So I'm going to listen to you for the next week.
Okay.
A bunch of Christmas stuff. And other stuff, probably. But I'm going to listen to you heavily in my, like, the thing I start with before I start listening to other stuff is going to be Bad Religion.
Hell yeah.
It's a Christmas album. Christmas songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I need you to do at least three listens through Don't Waste Your Wishes by the Killers.
Title one more time so I can save it.
Don't Waste Your Wishes.
It is now saved and on my phone. All right. Listen to it on the plane Friday.
Kind of the like a sort of honorable mention side tangent here. My wife is having girls' night in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing arts and crafts, and I did ask all of them what their favorite Christmas album is.
Ooh.
We had the Frank Sinatra Christmas album, but she couldn't remember the name of it.
Classic.
We had I don't really know, and then we had the Michael Bublé one. So. Do with that what you will. Moving into the next segment, if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm born ready, man. Fire away.
I wasn't asking you. Audience, are you ready? Let me hear a ho-ho-ho. I can't hear you. Okay. Thought we were doing like a, I don't know, like a Dora thing. Like, you know, call and response. It really gets the people going. The next segment, we're going to go faster with. It doesn't matter as much. Music matters, but you don't. So does Christmas movies a little bit. Do you have a top three Christmas movies, Crossland?
Top three. I think I can do this almost in no particular order. I feel like I have to.
Well, before you jump in, do you have any honorable mentions outside of those top three?
I'm seriously considering this. There have to be honorable mentions. I can't think of any. No. I know. I'm just saying that there have to be honorable mentions that I'm not thinking of right now. Christmas Carol, Muppets Christmas Carol, which is probably in your. Yeah, no, I know. It's probably in your top three. What is it? Four Christmases with like Jack Black?
Oh, no, Four Christmases is.
No, sorry. Vince Vaughn. So The Holiday is in my list. But
The Holiday. Okay.
God, what's the other one that's so similar? I think it's Four Christmases is the one that I'm thinking of. I think it's Four Christmases. I'm gonna I'll look it up. But that would be my only other honorable mention that I can think
of. All right,
of that,
cool. Like, we got them. Go ahead and give me your 1, 2, 3. If you have an order, give it to me. If it's no particular order, that's fine.
No particular. Yeah. Let's. We'll kick it to you. You start this time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Honorable mentions. Krampus. It's a great little. Yeah. Scary little horror movie. It's maybe the best like combination of horror and Christmas where it still feels like a Christmas movie and jolly, but it like it's a decent little horror movie. And then The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. I grew up on it. I love it. It's my wife's favorite Christmas movie, but you know, like it is what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. My number three is Elf. It's just a great Christmas movie. It's really nostalgic for me. Every single Thanksgiving at my great grandma's house before she passed, the whole family gathered, we'd eat dinner, and then we'd all like pass out drinking coffee, watching Elf, and that signified the start of the Christmas season, you know.
I agree. Elf was my third pick. Or is like in the top three. I think that it's probably also third. Elf is like the perfect Will Ferrell movie in my mind in a lot of different ways because it is just dumb enough and just sincere enough to like work. And I think it works particularly well because it's also a Christmas movie.
Exactly.
That's kind of where it lands for me.
Completely agree. Like I mentioned before, I did have a crush on Zooey Deschanel when I was younger.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like Zooey Deschanel in that movie. It's kind of weird going back, but it's probably where it started. my number two is A Muppet's Christmas Carol. I'm a big Muppets guy. I like the Muppets. So where some people might have like things in that movie where, because it is a genuine masterpiece, like go back and watch it.
Oh, it's so good.
Consider the cinematography, consider the direction, consider the lighting, the sound design. It's an actually like
Michael Caine playing Scrooge. Like, come on.
Exactly. I was going to get to that in a second, but that is like a masterful film. And then on top of that, Michael Caine is giving an Oscar worthy performance with puppets. Like, it's insane. Right. Even just from like a filmmaking standpoint, it is insane that that happened. I think for a lot of people, it's like they can recognize all that, but at the end of the day, it is still just like it's a Muppet movie, and that can be hard to get past. But that's my number two. It should be my number one. I think if the question is what is the best Christmas movie, it's my number one, but it's not my favorite.
I am presuming that we probably have the same first pick here, maybe. My second favorite movie.
Well, we're on Christmas first favorite movie now.
No, we're not on first favorite. This is second favorite.
Second favorite for me. Oh, I did second favorite first. This is your second favorite. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Mine is Love Actually. Love Actually is just so like heartbreaking. You move through so many different storylines. You kind of see like all of these different plates in the air. I just think that it is such like a wonderfully balanced movie. And again, there are so many plot lines. There's like 13 leads or something crazy like that in this movie. I love it. I watch it once a year. It's great.
I think Love Actually is super interesting, too, in the sense that, like, you can't forget it's a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas movie, but, like, it's a perfect rom-com, you know?
Yeah, right.
That, like, it almost overshadows the Christmas aspect, but not in a negative way. Like, I totally think that's
it's a vehicle.
Super
the season
take.
Is a vehicle for the story.
Yes, it's more of a Christmas movie than, like, Die Hard or Harry Potter, but, like, it's, like, It's a perfect rom-com set at Christmas. And it also has like the claim to fame of, in my opinion, and someone who knows more about film and rom-coms can definitely correct me, but I feel like it inspired an entire genre of rom-coms. And my favorite rom-com is Crazy Stupid Love. And I feel like that's a direct inspiration from Love Actually, like the too many leads and a bunch of different stories coming together for a really great thing. So,
right.
Yeah.
Love Actually rocks. That's such a good comparison. Crazy Stupid Love absolutely fits.
But there's no Christmas trip, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't go on the list.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to your number one.
All right, my number one is Family Tradition. It's my dad's maybe favorite movie, but definitely favorite Christmas movie. It's just Christmas Vacation. I feel like I will tell people, like, Christmas Vacation is my favorite movie, but fix my camera. Get my camera fixed. They need to know. The people need to know. Christmas Vacation is my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it every year, probably twice. I feel like I have had adult friends where I'm like, that's my favorite Christmas movie. That's the best Christmas movie. And they have been like, really? Because I think everybody sees it really young and then kind of writes it off. Whenever you watch that movie again as an adult, like it's such a great comedy. Like Christmas is, again, just a vehicle. It's a fantastic comedy. Chevy Chase ended up being an asshole, but, like, that doesn't matter. That movie's great. And I feel like I quote it all the time, and people don't know what I'm talking about. And so much of my, like...
Man, you know?
I feel like so much of my conversational humor comes from this idea of just like getting way overworked up over something and then blowing up. People are like, oh, that guy must be a fan of Brennan Lee Mulligan. And I'm like, no, dude, this is purely Clark Griswold. You
know? Right.
Like,
yeah.
There's nothing like a full mental breakdown monologue that rises in volume. Like the SWAT team smashing in for the end, and then we go into the national anthem as the Santa blows up because the sewage got poured in, and then someone lit up cigarette. It's just a perfect, it is almost as tightly scripted as Love Actually, just way dumber, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, you consider like the sort of like dick measuring contest that happens even between the neighbors over the course of like lights and everything else. Like, oh my God, what a perfect like description and like understanding of like how that happens. I fucking, yeah, it's so good. Love
that
movie.
It's so good. And also the neighbors, like growing up and watching it, they're not the villains. They're just like two, like they're a married couple
normal
with no kids, yeah, enjoying their life. And the Griswolds live next door and ruin their apartment throughout it, like over and over again. Or their house. I guess it's a house. I live in 2025. We don't have houses anymore. That was the before times.
That was the before times, and they were nicer.
yeah, that's my favorite Christmas movie. We don't need to talk about it that much more. It's not a masterpiece. It's just mine.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love also that we have different picks here. I definitely should have put that and probably A Christmas Story into my honorable mentions, come to think of it. And
we'll
maybe
talk about
even
A Christmas Story as like a honorable slash dishonorable mention right at the
end
here.
Yeah, well, there are elements of it that are great, right? And there are elements that like don't work. But I think in particular, I probably in hindsight now, thinking about this a little bit more, would have like a tough time between like Elf and Christmas Vacation. But my favorite Christmas movie is sometimes not classified as a Christmas movie. It is not Die Hard. If you think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie and that's the hill that you're going to die on, grow a personality.
Yeah.
It is The Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean,
you're like, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. Anyways, here's a Halloween movie.
Anyway, here's
movie
this Halloween movie.
Yeah. Well, all right, look, if I knew Halloween movies were on the table, that might have been my top three.
look, it's also a Christmas movie. It definitely is a Halloween movie for the first half, and then the back half, it is a Christmas movie.
What I'll say about The Nightmare Before Christmas is I work at a pediatrics office in the front office, and us in the front office choose the movies that play in the lobby. I played a lot of Nightmare Before Christmas leading up to Halloween. I haven't played it since we moved into December.
But you could, man. And especially one of the things that I wanted to bring up as validation for this being on the list is you mentioned the Nightmare Before Christmas various artists album as an
honorable
mention.
It was an honorable mention because
albums.
It's more of a Halloween album.
Fine.
No, I love
it's
it.
It's a Christmas movie to me.
It's such a good Christmas movie, and it is. You're so right.
Yeah. And really, it's because the Christmas song, like, this is Halloween, Halloween Town. Like, both of those songs are excellent. But the song that I think about the most is What's This? You know, like that's the song that you come back to.
That's why that album was in my honorable mentions, is because of the cover of What's This? Yeah.
Which is done by All American Rejects, right?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Tyson Ritter, isn't it?
Yes. Hold on. I have to double check that. I'm pretty sure
it is. I'm like 95% sure it is. I bought that album when I was, I don't know, fucking 14 with iTunes money that I earned on my allowance. It is absolutely, I'm 100% certain it's Tyson Ritter, but 95.
No, okay. That's what I thought. I was like, no, it's a female vocalist.
It
was
is it Paramore?
It's Flyleaf.
Oh, Flyleaf. What did they do? I thought they also did a What's This? What song?
No, there's a definitive chance that there's a What's This by All American Rejects. I think that sounds absolutely true. But it's Flyleaf.
Wait a minute.
Which now is so weird because
hang on.
All American Rejects did Jack's Lament on that.
That's
album.
It. Okay.
Which is
all
also
right.
a all Christmas right. forward a little bit. It's him being done with Halloween.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Constant wine. Yeah. Totally. I know every word to every one of those songs. I have for my entire life. I specifically kept when my parents tried to throw away their old ceramic mugs that they bought back in the 90s around the time that I was born from the movie. And I still have one and drink out of it practically.
Good.
I break it out every season. Fucking love it. It also just recently started to chip and crack a little bit. And I bought another one off eBay, a new one.
I wonder if it's the same ceramic.
Oh, it is. I
cup
looked up the
I
brand.
Have.
Oh, it might be. It's the skull one that has the embed. I'll send it to you. It's 1995, I think, is when it was.
I have like a chalice that's Jack Skellington. We're talking about it.
So it is kind of like a chalice. It's like a bigger. I'm not at home. Otherwise, I'd just go get it. But at
I
some
could
point,
get it. I could go get it.
You, I guess you could kill confirm if you wanted to.
I think rather than a cut here, and I know I just said it, so you'll probably find it and cut it. I think you should just talk for 10 seconds.
Sure. Yeah. I adore that album so much. And I know that Josh does too, for the record, which is one of the reasons that I also thought that maybe it was going to be his top as opposed to Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation makes more sense now, though, in hindsight. But I do. I adore Jack and everything that's like the intention, right? The idea that like you can do something and you can do it better. You can give people a break. You're excited. You try something new. You fail. All of that is just so encouraging, I think, from a creative standpoint as well. Like maybe you're not well suited at the task, but you can appreciate the task that someone else does. And that's part of the reason that I love that movie so much.
And hey, that's how you roast a Christmas turkey.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Not it. But that's great. Yeah. I love that. Big fan.
Sorry. Big fan. Keep talking about your favorite movie.
No, I actually just did for I just monologued about it for like 20 seconds.
Sick. You
just
right. then I guess we're good to move on to our next segment, right?
All right.
Crossland, are you ready?
Josh.
For the most important part of this episode.
Sure. Should I do a voice for this? I don't know.
I mean, you can. Yeah.
What do you
Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
There you go. Yeah.
Crossland. What would you say your top three appearances or performances of Ebenezer Scrooge are in all of media?
That's a tough one, Josh.
Don't do the voice. No, I'm so done with the voice.
Don't do the voice. I can't do the voice. I think. So I've only seen a couple of different Christmas carols as part of my problem here. And I think I maybe have three and I can rank them as such. There's a BBC miniseries that came out a couple of years ago. That was the first time that I'd rewatched anything outside of the Muppets Christmas Carol, which we'll get to in a moment.
Fair.
Yeah. It was the first time that I'd watched like another adaptation in a long time. Guy Pearce played Scrooge.
Oh,
he did an excellent job.
Guy Pearce would make a great Scrooge. I have not seen that, but
he did it really well. So 2019 BBC miniseries. So that's my first pick.
All right. I have an honorable mention. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's not a perfect film. The animation style is a little bit upsetting, but it's really good. Jim Carrey's Ebenezer Scrooge is just great, in my
opinion.
Okay,
so that's actually my number two, so I'm just going to bring that up real quick. I actually really like it for that. Like, the animation is definitely upsetting, but I also kind of like how, like, off-putting it is.
Same.
And to rewatch it more recently, it's like, this is actually...
It's really good.
Interesting there.
I think, like, if it appeared at a different time in the social zeitgeist or just in general was received differently, it would be considered so much more of a classic than it is today. To me, it's almost the quintessential version of that story. What's your... that was my honorable mention. My number three.
I gave you my two and my three already, but...
Yeah, so my number three is David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck in DuckTales.
Oh,
modern
fuck.
Retelling.
How didn't I think of that?
It's just good. It's
push out Jim Carrey. Yeah. Fucking Scrooge McDuck goes right there. You're totally right.
All right. Yeah. And I don't have much more to say about that other than it's David Tennant. He's Scrooge McDuck. That counts as Scrooge. And that's why
he's
I said in any
perfect.
Media. It doesn't have to be a Christmas carol. Just Scrooge in any media.
I fucking didn't think about that.
Yeah. I worded it specifically that way, hoping maybe you'd pick up on it, but
damn
also
it,
kind of hoping
so
maybe you
right,
wouldn't.
did they renew for additional
I actually don't know.
I think they did.
It was
two
incredibly
seasons.
Well received.
It was
I
so
can't
good.
Imagine
yeah.
that Danny Pudi, David Tennant, and John
wouldn't
Ralphio, what's his real name?
Ben Schwartz, right?
Ben Schwartz wouldn't come back as the little duck boys.
That was
incredible
great.
Stuff. You already gave me your number two, so I'll give you my number two. This might surprise some people. Most people will assume it's my number one. Michael Caine, A Muppet's Christmas Carol, is my
number
two.
Which is my number one, yeah.
Absolutely the best, like, Oscar-worthy performance of Ebenezer Scrooge I've ever seen in a fantastic film that both offsets and highlights how good that performance is.
I think also I would go so far as to say that it is the best human acting in a Muppets movie.
Oh,
period. Like, it's the best performance of that singular human in a Muppets movie.
Yeah, there's never been anything like it. I honestly think that, like, the joke of, oh, if you could remake a movie with Muppets and there's one human, stems from that film, and we've never actually seen, like, somebody try and take, actual award-worthy Shakespearean stage acting and put it in a Muppets film since. And I want to. I would love to. I would love to see an entire, like, Shakespeare adaptation series with massively famous actors doing
like
their best.
Ian McKellen acting in like Hamlet against
or Macbeth. Give me David Tennant. Give me give me Denzel Washington and the Muppets.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I want to see it, but it is incredible. It is the best performance of Ebenezer Scrooge. It is not my favorite.
I need to also mention, because it's important to mention, if you haven't seen Muppets Christmas Carol, and everyone should, and if you haven't, immediately end the podcast, go watch it. Even if you're in your car, I don't care. Get into a car accident.
Yeah, I agree. It's worth it. If you get into a car accident, you might see a couple of ghosts. They might take you through your past, present, and future.
Right, exactly. And they'd be like, why the fuck did you listen to those guys? they're drinking
Marley,
and they're not driving.
And Marley. Yeah, two Muppets are going to show up and be like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
In the intro credits, and this has stuck with me for forever, they run through all the characters acting out, like the Muppets are acting as different characters, except for Rizzo the Rat as himself.
It's so good.
Come on. Rizzo just gets to be himself in the movie where everyone else is playing other bit parts. I just fucking love it.
Rizzo, like, moving us, the camera, away from parts that aren't fit for a kid's film.
He's like, oh, hang on, hang on. You don't need to see that.
And then the camera kind of pans back and he grabs it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a perfect film. And that was your number one, you said, specifically, right? It was kind of like mixed into a conversation. I want to definitively right here say your number one Ebenezer Scrooge is Michael Caine.
Yes. In addition, just to backpedal, Scrooge McDuck takes number two, and Jim Carrey gets pushed to honorable mentions.
That's perfect. All right, cool. I will say that the specific prompt here, and I was also talking about actors and performances, but the specific prompt here was your favorite Scrooge in media, meaning the actor doesn't matter, the thing doesn't matter, it's your favorite Scrooge. My number one favorite Scrooge is that one Scrooge that pops out of a random school bus at the end of Hot Rod holding,
oh my god,
holding an entire roast goose, going, and roast goose for everyone. Because Rod, he's celebrating the fact that Rod just raised enough money to buy a new heart for his stepdad, Frank, so that he could save his life, so that he could then kick his ass to prove to him that he's a man, so that he could finally get Frank to respect him as an equal. That's my favorite Scrooge in all of media.
Oh my god. What a pick.
We've been Words and Whiskey, everybody.
All right. Well, Josh, that was an epically heroic episode. I love the idea. I love the presentation of the Scrooges. I can't believe that was the one. And I also, like, didn't think about it at all. That was great. That was good shit.
Yeah.
Good shit.
I would say, like, fight me in the comments, but I know I'm right. So
I'm gonna throw at you one question at the end here. It's related to things that we've said. What would you say is, as close as you can manage, your favorite Christmas song?
That sucks, because it's Joel the Lump of Coal.
Joel the Lump of Coal.
But if we're going classic Christmas song, it is Sleigh Bells. It's just Sleigh Bells. It's probably because I'm a percussionist. I played that in concert band a lot. Mm-hmm. I got to do the And that's a lot of fun. The little wooden thing that makes a big clap when they're like, like that. It's the most fun. Yeah, I think Sleigh Bells is my favorite instrumental Christmas, like favorite song instrumentally. Joel the Lump of Coal is my favorite Christmas song lyrically. And Wham is my favorite Christmas sound, but
Wham.
Yeah.
Fair. I think that I'd put a pin directly on, for some stupid reason, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. There's something in that key that like just earworms for me.
Dude,
so
I'll
hard.
Say Noel hits hard sometimes. Right. And I'm like, why? Yeah. Why is Noel hitting Hark the Herald Angels?
It.
Yeah.
Oh, come Emmanuel. Like, what the fuck? Why?
Well, you know, a lot of classic religion is based off of the sense of euphoria you get whenever a lot of people sing a good song together.
Right.
So the songs had to be good.
They were bangers at the time.
Exactly. Still are. We're still singing them.
That's true. We're covering them.
We're covering them. How many covers across the board of all the albums we said of the same 100-year-old songs are we rocking?
We mentioned three that are on Christmas songs by Bad Religion right there. So like, yeah. that's enough, you know, like
when the song is good, it's good.
Ah, man, it's crazy. And you put it to 220 beats per minute and I'm going to, my heart's going to explode and it's going to be great.
You know what that makes me think of though, is
finding us on social media. Just kidding.
Well, kind of, but specifically these Christmas songs that are just bangers, they'll stand the test of time beyond even our societal understanding of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it like stands to reason that even once we've destroyed this planet and reached out to the stars and found ourselves amongst other universes and galaxies or other planets and galaxies, that maybe these songs persist in one way or another, whether it's the lyricism or the melody. But it makes sense that maybe the Normans, maybe the Empire, maybe the Extra Solarians, maybe the Cielsen even,
maybe the
have
Tabarosi.
Covers of Hark Ye Angels Sing. Mm. And the only way that we're going to find that out is if you listen to our next episode.
In which we're going to be reading, Gaslight Through Kaliga is the next episode, which Josh is currently read, actually. So
I should mention I finished today. It rips. It's good. It's good stuff.
So again, Empire of Silence. This will be for episode 6. That's Gaslight Through Kaliga.
I'm so pumped. I got a lot to say. 50% of it is Gaslight Through, and then the other 50% is on Kaliga. That's a spot to stop for sure. It's not even like a crazy spot in
the
story, but like
this book.
Jesus, I want to talk about it. Yeah. It's Christmas. I can say his name, it's,
you know. Yeah, and you have to wait like another full week and a half before we talk about it.
I'm so mad about it. Part of a reason we're recording this episode is because Christmas is ruining our recording schedule, which also means Christmas is making me wait twice as long as I normally do to read the next chapter. And I've already been reading them two or three times while I wait because, like, this is torture. This is torture, Crossland. This hurts me.
This season is particularly bad. That said, if you want to find us on social media, you know where to find us. We're Words and Whiskey Pod on practically everything. You can find us there. Support us on patreon.com/wordsandwhiskey. And happy holidays.
Mahalo?
Mahalo?
I don't know, man.
I don't know, dude. I speak one language and two badly. So.
Malakaliki Malka. Sorry.
Ah, yes. Precisely.